Hello, good morning, and welcome to Raider Nation Radio. It's the morning tailgate here on this Tuesday. Clay Baker, Vinny Bonsignor, we're all here in our Las Vegas studios. Hit us up on the text line at phone number 702-365-9200. Our text line brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. At 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Jason Fitz, our good buddy, Raider Nation's Grammy winner, with Yahoo Sports. At 8:30, we will go and do our NFC West preview with Greg Bell from the Seattle Times and KJR. He'll join us at 8:30. 9 o'clock, we'll do our four-down territory as we will explore the NFC West and the preview as we go around the league and trying to find out which teams have improved from last year, who upgraded, who didn't. We'll do it here on Raider Nation Radio, also up on X at R&R 920 a.m. Yesterday, we did the AFC North as we uncovered several different things about teams that, you know, have great records, as, you know, many of those teams did last year, including the Ravens, the Browns. But, you know, it's like, can they improve on it? Are they that much better this time around here on Raider Nation Radio? And I think we uncovered certain things where if you feel like the Raiders, one of their best assets is their defensive line, it's certainly going to get challenged by teams out of the AFC North who are run heavy, who are very physical at the line. And it's not too far out of the realm of where you brought up the fact that yesterday that, you know what, is the depth strong enough on the Raiders defensive line? Then we realize we know the starters are, and perhaps this could be a top five DL by the end of the year if everything pans out right. But is the depth a bit of a worry?
Well, that's the thing with uncovering this time of year. I mean, it's hard to say. You know, we point things out and we identify things for all 32 teams, but then there's the matter of actually going out there and playing the games. Mm-hmm. And it always, that journey sometimes looks a lot different than what the prognosticators and, you know, people like ourselves point out or quote unquote uncover. You know, and when you think about that Raiders defensive line, You know, theoretically, there is depth. Theoretically, you know, Janoris Robinson and Tyree Wilson and Byron Young. And, you know, you throw Adam Butler in there. He's a tremendous depth piece, actually. So he's a certainty. And on paper, it does look good. You know, Tyree Wilson, the seventh pick overall in last year's draft. You know, now with a full season of actual football activities under his belt rather than the offseason he spent last year just trying to get to a point where he could actually get on the football field. Mm-hmm. Remember, he was not allowed to do any football activities this time of year during the off season. He couldn't train for the draft. He couldn't do the scouting combine or, you know, all of those various things that you do where you're focused on football and your craft. He was just trying to get better from a foot injury that he suffered at Texas Tech in November of his last year there. So that obviously stunted his growth as a rookie. You go look at the tape at Texas Tech and you go, well, if this guy's healthy, if this guy's right, there's no question or there's no it looks like no doubt he's going to be able to help in some way or form for the Raiders. But again, you know, you have to see it. And then Byron Young is another one. He kind of took a red shirt year last year. Was it his fault? I don't know. But when you're playing behind John Jenkins, behind Adam Butler, Bilal Nichols was also there. A couple other interior defensive linemen that the veterans that they had. It was just a red shirt year for him. And that's not always a bad thing. It's not always indicative of somebody's future. I've seen it a million times where guys turn the corner once they're given their opportunity, especially after getting settled in. So if Byron Young, the third-round pick out of Alabama, can give them some serviceable reps, that extends the depth that much more. So, but we don't know. You know, that's the greatness of sports. You just don't know. You can project. You can say, well, this is likely to happen, or this should happen, or wouldn't be a surprise if it went in this direction. But you know, who could have seen Malcolm Kuntz doing what he did? You know, at this time last year, mm-hmm. it was all about, is Malcolm Kuntz even going to make this team?
He was a guy that was on that list, on that precarious, you know, wire of, all
right, Robertson.
How long do we wait for you? And Amik Robertson, too. Yeah, like, how long are we going to be patient with you to actually mature to the player that we hope you are? And both actually rose to the occasion. Does Matthew Butler or Nesta Jade Severa, do they need to rise the occasion to maybe push somebody like Byron Young a little further.
Yeah, I think you know, when you have the kind of numbers that the Raiders do have, and you know, some guys that they've invested some decent draft capital in, you know, Nestor was a 7th round pick, Butler was what, a 5th round pick,
yep,
somewhere in that area. You know, Byron is a 3rd round pick. Obviously, Tyree is a 1st round pick. There's draft capital, and so these guys are guys that the NFL, not just the Raiders, but the NFL thought pretty highly of. So there is potential there. Now It's time for that potential to kind of blossom into, you know, more reality than just the potential. And if that does happen, and that's the really intriguing part about this Raiders defense, is that if it does happen, if, you know, 2 or 3 of those guys take big step forwards, then this defensive line, as we've been talking about, goes from really good to almost exceptional. And that's going to be something that we're all going to track as the season goes on.
No, like 2 years at this time, that second row of the defensive line went Matthew Butler, rookie, Neil Farrell Jr., rookie, Tyler Lancaster from Green Bay, and Cleve Furl. That would be your second wave on the defensive line, followed by guys like Andrew Billings and Kyle Pico that were picked up. You feel a lot more confident, considerably more confident now.
Yeah.
Even in the 3rd rung, so of just younger players that are looking to scratch and claw their way in for some relevancy.
Yeah, and that's why, that's a unique group because, you know, we just haven't seen Tyree and Byron and Nesta and Butler out there really doing their thing. We just haven't seen enough of it to really be able to make a declaration one way or another, but I think it trends in the right direction. And you look at the draft capital that was invested, their pedigree coming in, their scouting reports, all of those types of things, you know, make you feel pretty good that, you know, at least for some of those guys, it's gonna turn over and they're gonna develop into the players that the Raiders thought when they made those draft picks, as opposed to years past where it was a lot of stop gaps, a lot of guys that, you know, were on their 2nd or 3rd opportunities,
really?
You know, guys that were at the back end of other teams' rosters, and you know, it is what it is. You know, the direction that I'm going in, and that's why I've said that this roster is in a far better position this year than it has been in years past. Even, you know, that defense, a lot of guys answered a lot of questions last year to their credit, including Malcolm Kuntz, including Nate Hobbs, including Trayvon Merrick, including Divine Diablo, Robert Spillane, Marcus Epps. We can go on and on. Adam Butler, John Jenkins. You know, but this time last year, there was, and this is why it's probably, you know, something that I think Raider fans can be optimistic about, because this time last year, I don't think there was any inclination of the Raiders being a top 10 defense. None. It was more, geez, can the Raiders defense just be, you know, top 19, 20?
Yeah, and the dreams there were like, wow, what could be? Because you felt like the offense would have been top 10.
Right.
And could you get the middle of the road, you know, league average out of the defense? And it almost seemed like fantasy land. Could you get the defense that close to that kind of, you know, above average, you know, excellence in any category on defensively, because they had been so moribund, so low on so many defensive stats in 21, 22, and 23. So that, like, last year was such a great surprise for 2023 that it almost makes you feel like if the defense is going to continue to rise and go in that trajectory, what further can they go with more talent, more continuity? I think they can make that into a, you know, a viable top 10 defense that's now going to be, you know, not going to be showing up and surprising teams, but one that could be able to dictate the team's success in the early part of the season.
Yeah, I think it's something that the Raiders can hang their hat on. I think they can, you know, and that's why we've talked about how, you know, it's a tough road to sled that first, you know, part of the season. But the one thing I think the Raiders have that they're going to be able to put in their suitcase wherever they go, whether that's home or on the road, is they're going to be able to count, not just hope for, but they should be able to count on the defense. And really, right at this point, the only real question is to me. I mean, obviously you got to repeat. Obviously you got to go out there and do it. And you can't take anything for granted. But man, it just feels like the real question about the Raiders' defense is, how great can it actually be? Mm-hmm. It's not just can it be good, can it be serviceable? It's can this be a top five level defense? That's really a it's a valid question, and it's not hyperbole to think that that's the kind of conversation, you know, that that the Raiders are going to have. And and that's why I've felt like if the Raiders defense right out of the gate can be what the Raiders think it is, what, you know, fans think it is, what the numbers suggest it could be, especially with some of these younger players, you know, now taking steps forward in their second and third years, you have that as a certainty. And you go on the other side of the football field, I think, you know, there's questions at quarterback. You know, that's we'd be remiss, or, you know, we wouldn't be honest if we're not talking about the concerns in the passing game in terms of who's delivering the football, you know, at quarterback. Until Aiden or Gardner show that they're capable, dependable, efficient starting quarterbacks from game one to game 17, it's going to remain an unknown. But I think that one thing that the Raiders can also can along with that defense, you know, perhaps very early on in the season, be able to do is run the ball. I think that, you know, with what Antonio Pierce wants to do, with what the offensive coordinator Luke Getsy wants to do, with I think the way this offensive line is shaping up, the moves that they made with Dylan Parham over at, on the right side, Jackson Powers Johnson, the rookie from Oregon, on the left side, Thayer Munford now at right tackle. On paper, it looks like this can be a defensive line that you can hang your hat on in terms of the run game. And if the Raiders can develop a early semblance of a potent run game, it's just going to make all the difference of the world for the concerns that we're thinking about with the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. It's there. Like even the running game, none of us could have predicted that it would have been as passive as it was last year. Just to begin the season, 61 rushing yards in a game against the Broncos, 55 against the Bills, 69 against the Steelers, 76 against the Chargers. Nobody expected that.
Well,
it was low. Those were really low totals.
I don't know that we didn't expect it, because, you know, with Josh Jacobs missing all of the offseason and all of training camp, I don't think you could have gone into last season saying, yeah, that's going to be fine. Because he wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of an effect was that going to have on him? What kind of effect was that going to have, you know, on the chemistry? I know they don't run the ball a lot in OTAs and minicamp, but there's still value to it. There's still value to the running back and the running backs, you know, getting in tune with the offensive line, figuring things out, you know, bonding with them. And that was just something that wasn't available to the Raiders last year. You know, ironically, the guy that looked really good this time last year was Zamir White.
Yeah.
But as soon as Josh Jacobs mm-hmm. showed up, and rightfully so, he was going to be the guy. And I felt like it took Josh a while to get going from a leg standpoint, from, you know, hitting the hole standpoint, everything. It was just off to start off the season, and it never got better. And really the only time it actually did get better was when they handed it over to the guy who looked good in mm-hmm. OTAs and minicamp and training camp, in Zamir White. You know, circumstance dictated that they had to go in another direction. Everyone understands that. You go, you play your money guy. They signed him to a one-year deal, and they, you know, gave him decent money. It was decent money for a running back. I know it was just a one-year deal, but it was still a decent salary for Josh Jacobs. But he was just never able to, I think, make up for what was lost during OTAs and minicamp and all of training camp. So, and that kind of set them back a little bit. Whereas this year, you know, you're going to go into the season, barring any kind of an injury, with Zamir White as the decided, definite, you know, top guy. Alexander Mattison, who I think, you know, has been here since day one of OTAs as a more than viable cohort to you know, Zamir White. Not necessarily 50-50 or anything like that, but somebody that's already shown in his career that as a cohort, as somebody that can relieve a starter, maybe even pick up a game here or two, as he did with the Vikings, you know, when Dalvin Cook was sidelined, or share some duties during the course of the game and you know, be able to catch the ball out of the backfield and just be a versatile back. He's already shown that he can do that. And so you go into this season with Zamir White and Alexander Mattison behind this rebuilt offensive line. We'll get a better sense of it during training camp when the pads come on and the physicality gets ratcheted up. And then you throw in a Dylan Lauby, and, you know, Amir Abdullah is still around. So you feel good that, okay, this running game, there aren't any reasons, glaring reasons, why you would be worried that it wouldn't be ready to go day one. I don't feel that about the run game. I do about the pass game because I have some uncertainties about the quarterback, and that's, first of all, we don't even know who the quarterback's going to be, so that's yet to be defined. That'll come along, but I think that whoever's, you know, the quarterback is or turns out to be, whether it's somebody that's going to start from post to post or if they're going to have to replace that quarterback during the course of the season, whatever happens, I feel like the pass game will eventually catch up and get to a serviceable place. But you could certainly buy yourself some time with a really potent, intentional, punishing, dependable running game. And that defense that can help you win some games early on in the season while everything else in that passing game starts catching its stride.
All right. On the other side, we'll begin our NFC West preview. We'll also talk to Greg Bell at 8:30 from the Seattle Times. He covers the Seahawks. And we will also give you the keyword of the day. What is that? Well, for the summer fun brought to you by Planet Nissan, each week there'll be a new vacation adventure for you to be a part of. In which this week, it's the Cowboy Adventure in Alpine, Wyoming, where you work and live at the Rocket M Ranch for 5 nights. You got horseback riding, fly fishing, and more, rental car, and $500 spending cash. But you need to find the key word to qualify. What's that? We tell you in 6 minutes' time here on the Morning Tailgate.
It remains on his feet and brings it down at about the 23-yard line. That's a 15-yard gain. It looked like O'Connell was running away from that coverage, maybe going to throw it away. Then he saw the big one, 87 there, and hit him right in the chest.
Second 14 for the Broncos. Stidham's in an empty set. Two receivers each way. Got the snap. It's a broken play. He's in trouble, and he's wrapped up around the ankles for a sack. Tyree Wilson back at the 19. Dropped him for a loss of 2, and that was disaster for Denver right from the get-go.
Raiders Radio Network with a call on the Tyree Wilson sack, as well as JT the Brick covering the preseason action here on Raider Nation Radio, as we will uncover the week-by-week and division-by-division previews. Today, we'll do the NFC West. We'll also have Greg Bell from the Seattle Times talk about where he feels not only the Seahawks are coming at, are they upgraded, and where do the Rams, the Niners, and the Cardinals sit, as we'll talk about the Rams first. Don't forget, we will give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see the Battle for Vegas softball game coming up this Saturday at Las Vegas Ballpark. You don't want to miss it, as well as the keyword of the day is passport. Text the word passport to 702-365-9200 so you can qualify for the Wyoming Adventure, 5 days at the Rockin' M Ranch with fly fishing, as well as all the great stuff with the horseback riding and more. Text the word passport to 702-365-9200. As last year, it was a moment where the Los Angeles Rams, they became one of the hottest teams down the stretch last year. They're going 7-1 in their final 8 games because many of their top players returned from injury. But, you know, it is something that was like almost, even when they faced the Lions in the playoffs, they weren't that far away from winning that game and moving even further. So they could have been perhaps one of the hottest teams in the NFL. And this year, I think they're poised to make a very good start. And this could be a very difficult team to beat once the season rolls around.
Yeah, it really wasn't. They did get Cooper Kupp back. He was basically the only real starter that they had been missing. What saved the Rams season, and what I kind of picked up on when I was there last year when the Raiders joint practice with the Rams for a couple of days in Thousand Oaks, was they had a hell of a rookie class. Clay, this rookie class last year, 4,646 snaps from their rookie class. Puka Nacua. Record-breaking rookie season wide receiver from BYU.
Not bad for a fifth
Kobe
rounder.
Kobe Turner, 12 sacks. Byron Young, the other Byron Young, outside linebacker from Tennessee, provided pass rush off the edge. Steve Avila ended up starting at guard for the Rams last year. He's now going to be their starting center. Now you add. In the offseason this year, Darius Williams, cornerback, Jonah Jackson, Cameron Curl. In the draft, Braden Fisk, who I loved from Florida State, Jared Verse, his Florida State teammate, Blake Corum, the running back from Michigan, Carmen Kitchens, also in that draft class. You've got a healthy Matthew Stafford. You've got a healthy Cooper Kupp. I know that they lost Aaron Donald, but I think collectively it's impossible to replace Aaron Donald. But they've done such a good job drafting along that defensive line that if Fisk and Kearse could be the players I think they think they're going to get in their first years with the Rams, combined with Byron Young, combined with Kobe Turner, I think they feel pretty good that they're going to be in a good spot, you know, with that defensive line. And I'll say this. I think the Rams have a chance to catch the 49ers this year. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but keep an eye on the Rams. If, obviously, this is the biggest if Matthew Stafford could stay healthy. He wasn't healthy the year before, and that's why they fell off the way they did. He was spectacular in training camp against the Raiders, and you're just like, oh, boy, Matthew Stafford is back. That's a game changer, and it turned out to be a game changer, along with a great draft class, what they've added in free agency this year, and what looks like another strong draft class that Les Snead and his group have put together. So if I'm the 49ers, I'm feeling some breath by, you know, down south from L.A., and I think that it would not shock me at all if the Rams overtook the 49ers this year in their division.
It would be great to see if they get their rookies to maybe kind of like really show out and explode the way, you know, the offense did. Because you still have to find a way to replace Aaron Donald. And I'm sure that was kind of a shock, but he'll be missed as one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL. But they definitely tried to like stack the deck, making their first two selections in the draft on front seven players.
And not only that, but this was what was interesting about that draft. Les and his group, those two players played together at Florida State. And what they saw on film was this uncanny chemistry between Fisk and Kearse. Mm-hmm. And they're like, man, how great would it be to be able to get both of these guys on our team together? Because they felt like that chemistry that they had developed at Florida State would easily translate to the NFL. So they've got that going for them as well. And here's the thing about Aaron Donald. You know, they're not replacing 2018 or 2020 Aaron Donald. You know, he started showing some wear and tear, and the production wasn't quite. That's probably why he stepped away. I think he understands that he's on the other side of the career, and he wants to. He doesn't want to be that guy that's kind of hanging on. Not that he was hanging on, but it's not the dominant defensive player of the year type of player that he had been in years past. So the Aaron Donald that they are replacing isn't the Aaron Donald that was in his heyday. So not to say that it's any less daunting replacing a player like Aaron Donald. They're just not replacing that just sheer dominant force that he had been in years past.
Well, they had great workout of some of the youngins that they did draft, you know, because you brought up Byron Young. You know, he and Verse could be an excellent duo. You know, I don't think anyone realized that, you know, Young as a third-round rookie would be able to notch 8 sacks and showing great potential. That was awesome. But, you know, likely,
along with the 12 that Kobe Turner gave.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Turner had an even better rookie season,
right,
with 9 sacks as a third-rounder. So maybe he paired up with, like, Bobby Brown and Brandon Fisk. Like, this could be, you know, something that you don't have to worry about somebody's direct replacement, you know, if a guy like Aaron Donald retires. Just the collection of talent is going to overdo and, you know, just to overassume the duties there.
Yeah.
So now you got a team that not only can score points, but they can stop you at many different ways. They can stop the run, but they can also rush the quarterback. And maybe as people thought that cornerback might have been a huge weakness for the Rams last year, it really wasn't the case with Darius Williams and Tre'Davious White.
Well, Darius is coming back. Mm-hmm. So he was a guy that had been there before.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, went back to Jacksonville, and now is back. And I think that they just re-signed John Johnson, the veteran safety.
Yeah, what do you think about that move? It's hilarious that John is back again.
Yeah, no, I like John a lot.
I do too. But
I've always liked John Johnson, and just a quality player. I don't know, you know, what he's still got left in the tank, but I know there's not a smarter player out there. I think he's gonna you know, if he does make the team, I think he's gonna be somebody that is a veteran, you know, certainly a veteran presence, and they can run the ball. And this is one thing that Sean McVay has sort of, you know, gone back to. There was a period of time where, you know, when they had Todd Gurley, this was a 50-50 kind of an offense. It was run and throw the ball. They sort of got away from that when Todd started showing the wear and tear that he had, and they never really quite had the replacement for him, so they were a bit of a, you would call them probably a pass-happy team. They still won a Super Bowl doing that, but I think at his roots and at his core, Sean McVay likes to have, you know, more balance than what it had been there for a couple of years. Well, between Kyren Williams and I think Blake Corum, when he gets his legs under him, last year they showed that they could run the ball. Williams was he's another excellent draft pick that they had gotten a couple of years ago out of Notre Dame in the mid rounds. And I remember texting, you know, their general manager Les Snead. I'm a huge Notre Dame fan. I go, man, that I can't believe that guy was even there for you. They need to lock you up and put you in jail for stealing that guy. And I don't know why he didn't get, maybe because of his size. He's not the biggest guy, but geez, you could throw it to him. You can run him. You know, he's a hell of a football player. I think Blake Corum is going to fit perfectly with him. So, you know, that's a good football team. And the Raiders, you know, are going to have to. That's where. That Raiders defense is good. That's going to be a great challenge for the Raiders defense. I think they're going to show up in Los Angeles. The Raider fans will be there, so it'll be a quasi home game for the Raiders. I think it's going to be a great fight. And by that time in the season, you know, if Gardner or Aiden can really have solidified themselves from at the quarterback position, I think that's going to be a hell of a football game.
I do too, and it's one in which. You hope that any questions about your quarterback are solved by then. Because
right,
you're going
exactly.
to need to keep up and score points.
Yes. I no doubt. That's probably how it how that game profiles. But I'll say this: I feel like you know, I know the Rams have made some improvements on the offensive line. You know, they're moving Avila to center. They brought in some free agent offensive linemen. But that's a game again, especially if that crowd turns Raiders and can you know help create some momentum defensively and getting them off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know from a defensive standpoint, if the Raiders defensive line shows up in that game, that could help slow. It certainly can help slow down the Rams. You know that Rams offense. Now they also are going to have to stop the run. We talked about Corum. We talked about Williams. You know, that's something that you can't sleep on against the Rams now. Maybe in a couple years ago you could. Now you got to really pay attention to that run game as well. But I think that shapes up as a fascinating game, especially if, you know, either Aiden or Gardner are good to go at that point in the season.
The Rams themselves will be coming off a bye week to face the Raiders.
Yeesh.
In that week. And, you know, for the... you know, for the Raiders themselves, they're kind of in the sandwich spot where they'll be home against the Steelers, on the road against the Rams, and then home against the Chiefs. So the Raiders will have the Chiefs after that Rams game. You know, just the way the schedule
the
works out.
The good news is it's home.
It's home.
Home.
Yeah.
Home, basically.
That's a saving grace.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, and it's also like when you think about upgrades, the Rams did have one problem last year, and hopefully that gets erased, but they had to go and draft a kicker.
Mm-hmm.
This year,
yeah.
Because last year's kicker was they actually had two kickers last year.
It was a joke.
They couldn't find that semblance of consistency, and that held them back to the point where it's like, I wonder how things will be different this year because that with the new kickoff rules, you know, they're going to be expecting a lot out of a rookie.
Yeah, and you know, I think the kickoff rules are one thing, and certainly you got to get a handle on that. But for them, they just need somebody that's going to be able to kick some field goals consistently and extra points too. It was a little bit of a you know what kind of show, mm-hmm. for them in the kicking game and it guided decisions, it changed the course of a game or two, and you just can't have that, you know, at this level. When you want to be the best of the best, you have to be have all your bases covered. And you know, it's uncanny how, you know, like in baseball, your worst defender becomes that magnet for the ball. The ball seems to always get hit to your worst defender.
Yeah,
and at true. The worst possible time,
mm-hmm.
when you're shaky at the kicking position, it feels like that's always going to be something that it's going to come down to that. And that's you're going to get exposed as a result. So, you know, hopefully for them, they got that squared away. But until further notice, it's still something that you have to worry about if you're the Rams.
Okay, 702-365-9200 is the number here. You can reach us. We will get your thoughts up on the text line. Same number, 702-365-9200. At the same point, we will also take winners. We will get your thoughts because we're going to give away tickets to see the Battle for Vegas over at the Las Vegas Ballpark this Saturday, July 13th. It's the 5th annual Battle for Vegas charity softball game. It's one in which members of the Golden Knights face the members of the Raiders. Raiders will have team captain A.J. Cole at hand. You can get your tickets up online at battleforvegas.com. And it's all brought to you by Tobin Motor Cars, proud sponsor of the Battle for Vegas charity softball game. Visit TobinMotorCars.com to explore their full gallery of new and pre-owned luxury vehicles. But be caller number 9 right now. We'll hook you up, 702-365-9200. 702-365-9200. We'll hook you up with tickets for the charity softball game Battle for Vegas.
Crosby and Nichols, they met in the end zone. They squished him to the turf. And the Raiders defense has that safety.
Yeah, Robbie's been incredible. He challenges us every day. You know, he doesn't coach anybody. You know, he coaches people different, but he doesn't shy away from coaching. You know what I mean? That's what I think is most important. You know, nowadays there's a lot of guys that are, you know, feel like they're too big to be coached and things like that. And it's my way or no way. Rob is a guy that can relate to us. He played, you know, Division I football. He's been around a lot of great players, and people have his, you know, respect in our room. So, you know, it's a collaborative, you know, group. You know, he walks in there. And we have the biggest D-line group I think we've ever had. We have like 18 guys or something ridiculous. Got like 4 coaches now and there. And it feels like everybody wants to be in the D-line room at all times. So it's a special group, and it starts with him. And I think he's done an incredible job, and he just pushes us in every single way.
Max Crosby coming back, Raiders Radio Network. Jason Horowitz, Lincoln Kennedy with the call. Talking about Rob Leonard, defensive line coach, and how everyone really thrives off that environment that he's a part of. And it trickles down. All the position groups feel it here on Raider Nation Radio. From the text line, 702-365-9200. Also, congratulations to Kevin and Brad. They walk away with tickets to go see the charity softball game with the Vegas Golden Knights against the Las Vegas Raiders, July 13th at the Las Vegas Ballpark. Get your tickets, battleforvegas.com. Who will cover Puka Nacua, and who will cover Cooper Kupp when the Raiders face the Rams in October? Good question. Thanks for the thought from the 323. That's interesting, because that was the problem that everyone had last year with trying to defend what the Rams were doing as we're going through our NFC West previews. And, you know, when the Rams come off that bye week to face the Raiders at home in Los Angeles, that will be an interesting test for the secondary, because you wonder how, you know, the matchups will go, and how much will they zone this out, and how much will they play press man on certain receivers?
That's a good question. That's obviously is going to be up to Patrick Graham, and it'll definitely be a challenge. I guess the good news is Brock Bowers won't be somebody that they have to defend. The Rams really wanted to draft the Raiders tight end from Georgia, mm-hmm. So that's not going to be. They're not going to have to face that challenge. Imagine that. You put Brock Bowers on that Rams offense. You know, I think it's going to be a combination of all types of different things. I think Trayvon Merrick and Marcus Epps will be part of that. I think Nate Hobbs is going to be a big part of that. Jack Jones. I can see Jack Jones, you know, pairing up against Cooper Kupp. You know, they do a good job of lining up Cooper in the slot. Sometimes mm-hmm. Puka is in the slot, so it'll be definitely a combination. But I like Nate Hobbs in that matchup against whichever whatever wide receiver you're talking about. You just have to you have to know that, you know, you're gonna give some up. That's just the nature of football. But you have to stick with it, and also. You got to rely on that, or you got to hope that the defensive line is creating some pressure, because one thing that Matthew Stafford is susceptible to is making some bad throws if he's pressured. So to me, that game is going to really come down to, defensively anyway, for the Raiders to slow down the Rams, is the kind of pass rush that they can get on Matthew Stafford. If they can create a consistent buzz, then I think that they're going to be able to mitigate some of that passing that passing game. But again, you know, McVay last year kind of returned the corner, I should say, in relying on that run game. So that's a part of the game that the Raiders they can't just, you know, put their hand on the ground and, you know, pin their ears back and think they're going to spend the entire afternoon pass rushing and not thinking about the run. They're going to have to defend both of those components. So, but if they can get a consistent pass rush, that certainly helps in the pass coverage.
And on the same route, like for the Raiders, if they find a good chemistry where they're able to get the ball to Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer, those two are very hard to stop. And at the same time, Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers, That will be a very tall task for a secondary, and regardless of which team it is, to kind of deal with them, because you need to find a way for the offensive line by that point to really hold off a pass rush. That has been very good and young and strong what the Rams have been doing, but can they take advantage of, you know, maybe some of the guys like Darius Williams and Tre'Davious White and, you know, Quentin Lake? You know, the secondary for the Rams is one that's, you know, a little bit above average, but by that point, in that early October, will the Raiders offense find that ability to have that chemistry and start gelling and getting the ball down the field, but especially to weapons like Brock Bowers?
They got to, and we've been talking about it the entire offseason. This to me, the Raiders are going to go as far as that passing game eventually gets them, and you can't have another season like you had last year. You just can't, where, you know, plays got drives stalled, red zone visits, you know, turned into way too many field goals than touchdowns. They weren't good on third down. You know, eventually, I'm not saying it has to happen day one. That's why, you know, I keep saying being able to build a adequate or kind of a punishing running game to go along with that defense can buy you some time early in the season. But eventually, that pass game has to come alive. And the components from the I'm not even worried about the weapons themselves. You know, that's a challenge for any defense when you go into a game going, boy, how do you slow down Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers, Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer, Trey Tucker? That is going to keep defensive coordinators up at night. But it sure will help if the quarterbacks are doing their part. And, you know, and until we see it, that's the biggest concern for the Raiders this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's, but that's the thing. Like, all right, so we don't expect it to happen day one, but how far into the schedule should we expect it to be like, all right, well, when do they find their chemistry? Is it against an opponent like a Carolina Panthers, week three?
Yeah.
That you hope that, all right, now you feel like this is what this identity will look like on offense.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. And you know, the hope is that wherever they are chemistry-wise, wherever they are playbook-wise, day one, they're going to be able to put together a game plan and be able to execute that game plan. Even in the pass game, they'll be able to add things on as they go along. But and day one, they have to be at least efficient. That's the thing. You can't be throwing the ball around, especially going on the road those first 2 weeks. You got to avoid turnovers. Mm-hmm. You have to be efficient. You have to be effective with your ball placement and your timing. Delivering the ball on time and in rhythm. You know, you have to come up with a game plan, and you have to figure out what you do well enough to be able to, in a passing game standpoint, to be able to go on the road and play good, crisp, efficient football. Because if you get away from that, then you're it's tough enough to go on the road in this league, especially against, you know, a quality opponent in the Baltimore Ravens. We'll see where the Chargers are, but you can't just, you know, whatever happened last year with the Chargers, I would advise everybody just to forget about that.
I think that's a very good idea. Just wipe that out.
Oh, it was 63 points. First of all, they're going to be raring to go. You don't mm-hmm. think that they remember that game? You know, you don't think that they remember the embarrassment of that night in Las Vegas, and, you know, the heads that rolled immediately after that game? They remember that. That's a proud football team as well. So
people were blowing out of jobs.
Yeah, you got to expect that. That the Chargers are gonna, you know, that's gonna be a rallying cry for them. So whatever, I don't care what happened last year with the Chargers. I don't care what's happened in recent history. That is a game that the Chargers are gonna earmark right now, because what better way for them to start their season than to extract some major revenge against a team that flat out embarrassed them on national TV.
Yeah, it's exercising some ghosts out of that to make sure that they start the year off right. And, you know, and consequently, regardless of how Raider Nation's going to pour into SoFi Stadium, they had the crowd last year in week one.
The Raiders don't play well at SoFi Stadium.
It didn't work. It didn't help them at all.
You could call it a home game all you want. Mm-hmm. And it is. I'm there. I see all the Raider fans. But they haven't handled their business at SoFi Stadium.
It's not enough just to have the home fan.
No, you have to go out there and play.
Yeah.
And that's for the Raiders, that's going to be such a key. You have to take advantage. That's been a big disappointment, if we're being honest. It's the fact that they haven't been able to take advantage of the home field advantage that they truly do have in Los Angeles by notching more wins. It's not been a good place for them in terms of the wins and losses. Now, maybe that can get turned around, and that would be a great way for the Raiders to start their season. It's a big game, and it's a divisional game, and it's against an opponent that is looking to lick some wounds and to extract some revenge, and the Raiders have to meet that challenge, and I think that they will. I'll say this about the Raiders. I don't know what the record's going to be. I don't know, you know, how it's going to all turn out. But I expect a competitive football team week in and week out led by Antonio Pierce and the leaders that are on this team. You know, the wins and the losses are all going to come down to execution in certain points of the game, being able to master third down, being able to master the red zone. But I think mindset and emotionally and from a passion standpoint, I think the Raiders are going to be right there throughout the season with this leadership in place.
All right, on the other side, it's Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports, Raider Nation's Grammy winner. We'll talk to him about what he sees in current divisions like the NFC West as well as the AFC North, full of Raiders opponents. But also, he had a conversation with Josh Jacobs last week. We'll talk to him about that and more. It's Raider Nation Radio here on